Well, I have a message that I want to share with you this morning. It's not really a whoa message. I like those kind of ones. But every year I ask God for a word. And this year I ask God for a word for me for 2023. And he said to me, faithfulness. And I went, huh. Do you know what? I wasn't actually that impressed. I was like, that's not very well, God. I'm not really very excited about that word. And but I began to get into the word and I began to look at it and God just began to talk to me a little bit more. And I realized actually, well done, good and faithful servant is what I want to hear. So actually, that's what I want to be. Yeah. So this year I'm on a journey of discovering more of his faithfulness. And discovering more of being faithful. And the more that I have unlocked some scriptures and found some scriptures this year, I've gone, oh yeah, you really know what you're talking about, God, when you say your word for the year is faithfulness. I'm like, okay, I get it. I will enter this journey of faithfulness with you. Because do you know what? I want to say, our God is a faithful God. Our God is a faithful God. And if you go away with nothing else this morning, walk away knowing right in the very depth of who you are that our God is a faithful God. And no matter what happens, our God is faithful. He is very faithful. And I might get a little passionate about that because it's the truth. And you know what? The word, the Hebrew word for faithful is, let me find it written here, it's emet, and it actually lines in with truth. It's really interesting, isn't it, how all these things line up. You know, faithfulness is all about not just an act. We often think of faithfulness as what we're doing or how we're acting, but it's more than that. Faithfulness in him is living a life of full reliance on him because we know who he is. And I just popped into the dictionary, actually, you know, good old Google, eh? And Webster defines faithfulness as steadfast in affection or allegiance. So loyalty, you know, a faithful friend, that's who our God is. He is steadfast. He's totally towards you. He's totally towards me. And that's what he wants us to be too. It also says it's firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty. Who knows that God's faith, God's promises are yes and amen. God is a faithful God. What he says is true. It's so good. Another one is given with strong assurance, binding a faithful promise. Wow. That is our God, isn't it? Strong assurance, and that's what I want inside of me, a strong assurance that my God is who he says he is. Do you know what? God doesn't need to be convinced of his faithfulness. Just sometimes we need to be convinced of his faithfulness. Yeah. One last thing it says, it's true to the facts, to a standard, and to the original. Well, we serve the original, don't we? Yeah. God is so true to who he is. Some, you know, it can be linked in with faith, with belief, with trust, with confidence. That's what faithfulness was all about. It's being persuaded of his will. Being persuaded of his will. I want to say to you that faithfulness is not just what God is, what God does. It's better said who God is. Faithfulness is his very nature. He can't be anything but faithful. He just can't be anything but faithful. Because faithfulness is his character. So this message that I'm going to share, and Grant's going to share some too, is probably things you may know, and that's okay. because I think knowing and having these kind of foundational truths solidified in us is so important. And sometimes we walk through things in life and we don't realize, but they just kind of chip at what we believe. They just chip a little bit away at what we believe and cause us to question. And sometimes we don't even realize that has happened, but it does. And I just want to say, God is a faithful God. No matter what happens in 2023, God is a faithful God. And we are going to be a faithful people because we serve a faithful God. Amen? Yeah. So I want to just go through some incredible scriptures in the Bible about his faithfulness. And hopefully we won't be too long because it's pretty warm in here. So good on you for being here today. It's a long weekend and you came. Good on you. But isn't it good to gather together in his name? I love 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9. It says, God is faithful, by whom you are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, by our Lord. And then he goes on in Isaiah 25 verse 1 to say, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Pretty much that is saying, right from the beginning, faithfulness and truth is the counsel of God. So they need to be our counsel too, eh? Yeah. I got heaps of scripture today because that's what I've been doing for the last month, is just getting in and finding, and I'm going to continue doing it, finding all the scriptures I can on his faithfulness, because I want it to become so strong in me. And so you just get to share a little bit of it today, and I hope that's okay. I love this one in 2 Timothy 2 verse 13. It says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Do you know what? God's faithfulness is not dependent on my faithfulness. And do you know what? Some of you need to get that in the very core of you, who you are, because so many of the relationships that we have are, if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. Our God is not like that. Oh, a bit of a mama coming on here. Our God is not like that. He's not like, well, if you do it, then I'll give it to you. Oh, I can feel some of you actually going, well, I'm not really sure about that. God cannot go contrary to his character. And his character is faithfulness. His character is faithfulness. I tell you what, sometimes our actions can change. Let me go to what I wrote because I'll say it wrong. Can influence. Sometimes what we do can influence his actions, but it never changes who he is. And the surety of the fact that he is faithful needs to be so strong in us, so it's like bedrock. It's the thing that we plumb into. It's bedrock. Rock solid. That's what it is. His faithfulness is totally not dependent on my faith or even my action or belief. Some of you might need to think about that for a little bit. I had to think about that for a little bit. But we can influence his action. But he can never be contrary to his character, because our God is a faithful God. Our God is a faithful God. So we could finish right there. God is faithful. But we won't. We'll carry on. You go, yeah, just going to have ice blocks with the kids. Shouldn't have told you that, should I? That was really cruel. There's this great quote by Leonard Ravenhill that says, I have no faith in my faith. My faith is in the faithful God. That's cool, eh? So we need to look to God to understand faithfulness. And I've just gone, okay, so the best place to find out about his faithfulness is to see it outworking in our lives. And I hope and pray that you all have stories of his faithfulness. And if you do, can I encourage you? Perhaps write them down. Perhaps write them down. Because you might come across a time this year that you need to pick up that piece of paper and read it. And remind yourself of his faithfulness. But there's a whole lot of verses in here that I want us to dive in and read about his faithfulness and just what it is. So Hebrews 3 verse 1. I'm actually going to read this one from the message. So it's not going to come up on your screen because we don't have it there. But I want you to hear this. It's such a great translation. So my dear Christian friends, companions in following this call to the heights. Hey, that's us, isn't it? Take a good hard look at Jesus. He's the centerpiece of everything we believe. Faithful in everything God gave him to do. Wow. So let's take that look at Jesus, eh? This is what the Bible says about God and his faithfulness. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 to 4, it says, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he." And then in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3, it says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." Well, that's a promise. Take a hold of that one this year. And 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 24, it says, "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." And I'm just going to stop there for a moment because I really felt like God wanted to say this morning, he is a generational God. And hey, that's what we've been praying into this morning, isn't it? Our God is a generational God, and his faithfulness is going to continue through the generations. And has been going through the generations. You know, we have incredible people in here who their lives demonstrate the faithfulness of God. And that is a heritage and a legacy that we have and we can pull on and reference for our lives moving forward. Because we might not have all the testimonies of faithfulness in our lives, but we can pull on those and say, I've seen it here. So if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he can do it in my life too. And he can do it in your life too, right? Yeah. Here's another one in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, even in the middle of temptation, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Wow. In the middle of all the things we go through, God is faithful. He's never going to put us in a situation that we can't handle. He's going to make a way out. He's going to make a way out for you. You can trust him in that. He's faithful. And then if perhaps we get into some trouble, find this one. If we confess our sins, in 1 John 1 verse 9 it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Wow. His faithfulness is huge, isn't it? When I was going through, I just wanted to quickly go through those scriptures because I wanted you to get some of the word of what his faithfulness is. But when I was going through this particular scripture in Hebrews 11:11 just jumped out at me. You know how sometimes scriptures jump out at you? And I quite like 11:11, and so it kind of made me smile. I didn't even realize the reference when I read it. But this is what it says. It's all about Sarah. "By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Wow. Now, you guys probably know the story of Sarah and Abraham, and he's called the father of faith, isn't he? Abraham is called the father of faith. And so if you don't know the story of Abraham and Sarah, well, God promised them that their descendants would be as much as the grains of the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. That was the promise that he made to them. And they lived life, and it wasn't very evident through their life. You know, they lived life, and there was no child. And actually, when that word was given, Abraham laughed. And Sarah actually laughed when that word was given, that their generations would be as grains of the sand of the seed. Because it was, to them, it was like, how's this even probable? Actually, it's we were having a wee laugh about it last night. They had to put action to the word that was spoken to them. But we won't go there. But the kids are out. You know, we're just, you know, we're having a wee laugh about some of the things that, you know, because Abraham was old. It says he was old and wrinkly. But they had to put action to their to what God had said, their faith, you know? Some of you are horrified at me, but that's okay. You're just grateful that you don't have Grant on that particular one. It's hilarious, but anyway. I will stop. She judged him faithful who had promised. It says she bore him a child when she was past the age. Shelf it shut. But she had a child. So I can imagine why she laughed, you know. But then in this scripture it says she judged him faithful. And so I want to say to you, church, you know, sometimes when God says something to us, we can almost laugh. And go, well, that's a bit incredulous. That's an impossibility. But you know what the word says in Hebrews? She judged him faithful. In the moment, she might have laughed, but God saw that she judged him faithful. And because of that judging him faithful who had promised, there's a because in there. It says, because she judged him faithful, she bore the child. No, I won't say that. She could have said, I'm just too tired. Well, I'm going to stop now. Because she judged him faithful. So we're all adults here. Because she judged him faithful, who had promised. Because his word is yes and amen. And we get to say the amen with him. Yeah. Some of us have got promises that God has given to us that we go, shop shut. We're past that. We're past the age. I want to say to you, if God has said it, he never goes back on his word. If God has said it, he never goes back on his word. How God is a faithful God. And if he's promised you something, you hold on to that promise. You hold on to that promise because it's truth. I mean, it's one thing if you're just like, oh, I just want good things in my life. If we're just kind of making up. But no, if God has spoken to you, hold on to it. How many of you have got things that God has spoken to your life that you haven't seen yet? And you're tempted to go, oh, wow, I know I have. So I have a choice this year. What do I do? Do I hold on to them and do I keep walking as if that's the truth? Because I'm sure Sarah lived a life differently because of the word that was spoken. We've got to have action that aligns with the word and the promise that God has spoken over us. Yeah. Yeah. She considered and judged that he was faithful. I think sometimes we've just got to do that. Hey, sorry, I keep going like this. I've got to stop doing that. We've got to consider that our God is faithful. And if you're feeling like he's not in some area, just find a bit in the word. Just find something in here that says the truth. And begin to declare it. Begin to speak it over your life. Because this is what we need in us. Not just what we see in our circumstance. We need this in us. Because when the truth gets in us, it transforms us and it vitalizes us and it brings to life what was an impossibility. Ah, there's a seed that has been spoken. Hear this for what it is. There has been a seed that has been spoken into your life. And if you judge God faithful, if you judge God faithful, you'll bear the fruit of it. But if you don't judge him faithful, well, I've got some seedlings on my windowsill, and the only way that those seedlings are going to be survive is if I faithfully water them every day. And I just have to be right up there honest with you that routine, regular, faithful, do it daily, things like that, is not really my forte. It's not. But if I want those seedlings on my windowsill to survive and to grow and to thrive and be all that they're supposed to be, I'm going to do it, you know? So I'm going to put things in my life to make it happen. There's a really great illustration that Joyce Meyer gives about faithfulness, and it's a puzzle. It's a landscape puzzle. Some of you may have heard this. And in puzzles of landscapes, often lots of the pieces are blue and green, right? Yeah, not much kind of colour stuff in there. And you've got to slog it through the blue and the green to see the picture, right? Some of us, we just want the pretty colour. You know, give me some colour. Please, I want some colour, please. I want some picture now, not another leaf. Please, Jesus, not another leaf. You know, turn over the puzzle. Oh, it's another leaf. But all those pieces together make up the puzzle. And faithfulness is not just going for the pretty picture things and putting them together. It's not a full, complete picture, is it? But it's being hard slog on every single piece of the puzzle. And faithfulness is about that. It's the hard slog every day on all the pieces of the puzzle. Yeah. I think sometimes we're looking for, or maybe it's just me, we're looking for revival and we're looking for great things to happen. And God says, just water, just water. Just water, just water, because then I can do it. Yeah. So we've got to remember his faithfulness. I love that illustration of Sarah. And I want to encourage you, if you feel like maybe you have laughed at a promise that God has given you, that's okay. You can be like Sarah, who come and judge him faithful. Yesterday was yesterday, and today is today. And what happens tomorrow can either reflect yesterday, or it can reflect today. And that's all by our choice, which is cool. Yeah. So let's speak of his faithfulness. I love this verse in Psalms 92, verses 1 to 2. It says, "It's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." Wow, if we can do that, that's like so good. Just builds things into us, doesn't it? Let's recall his faithfulness. It says this in Lamentations 3, verse 21 to 23. It says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." Did you hear that? It says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Because I remember, I have hope." Cool way. "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning." Praise Jesus. Great is your faithfulness. Every day new. That is such a good thing, isn't it? We have to recall his faithfulness. My parents regularly would speak of God's faithfulness in our family's life. And that recalling of faithfulness was so powerful. And there was a situation that I found myself in the UK. I was travelling, I was about 19, I was travelling and I ended up in Scotland. And Mum and Dad had always had testimonies of God's faithfulness and God's provision, which is awesome. But who knows, it's amazing to have testimonies of your own of God's provision and his faithfulness. And anyway, I found myself I found myself overseas, and I was stuck in a place, and I had no money. My bank in England had told me my bank would be there. I arrived and got there, and there was no bank. There was no bank, and I had no money. I had enough money for, I literally had coins. Fortunately, I'd already paid for one night's accommodation. But I had nothing. I had nothing. And I went into my hostel room, because I was travelling alone. I went into my hostel room, and I just was down on my knees praying. And I looked up, and there was hills. And God reminded me of that verse. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth." And I was in that moment. I'm like, what can I do? I could ring Mum and Dad. Absolutely nothing they could do. They are on the other side of the world. There's nothing that they can do to help me. I would actually just cause them a little bit of anguish, knowing that their daughter, because actually I said the wrong place. I wasn't in Edinburgh at all. I was in Northern Ireland with no money. You know, fair dinkum. An interesting place to be with no money. I could cause them a little bit of anguish by telling them that I'm stuck here and I've got nothing. Or I could go to my father. And so that's what I did. I went to my father. And you know what happened? God is our provider, isn't he? He's there when we need him. And he brought these incredible girls along. They took me out for dinner. Just God provided so much right down to the T. It was incredible. His faithfulness is incredible. I had my bus pass to go back because I worked out that I really shouldn't stay if I had no money, you know. I was trying to think, where do I sleep? Where do I sleep? Because by the time I worked out, there was no bank, no bank, because I'd walked around all the streets of Belfast looking for my bank, because I'm like, yeah, nah, they're not true. They told me it was here, it's going to be here. And it wasn't there. There was no bank. There was no bank at all. No access to finances. So by the time I'd done that, it was too late for me to catch the bus back and be all good. So I was stuck. And that's why I needed an extra night's accommodation, all that sort of thing. It was crazy. But his faithfulness came through. Even so much so that sitting on the bus coming home, I sat next to somebody, and because the currency changes when you go between the northern and southern, and they're like, oh, do you want my coins? Because they're not going to any good for me. So that was enough for my lunch. And amazing. God is so faithful. And so I have those testimonies, and now we've got plenty more of his faithfulness in my life. But God wants to give each one of us those stories of his faithfulness. He wants us to know in the very core of yourself that he is faithful. You know that verse, I lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help? You can't take that verse from me. You cannot take that verse from me, because I know that is the truth. Because I lifted up my eyes and I saw the hills and straight in walked the help. You just can't take that from me. You can take lots of other things from me, but you can't take that from me, because I have this incredible testimony of the faithfulness of God. And that's what he wants to do for each one of us. So recall and hold fast to the confessions of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We need to hold fast to his promises. That was Hebrews 10 verse 23. We need to just hold fast. We need to hold on. Hold on and never let go. Grant, do you want to come up? I feel like it's like this. Do you know the fireman's grip? We've got to hold on. And we've got to hold on. And if I let go, I'm still being held, eh? Because we all know in this situation who's the stronger, right? Same with us and God, right? So if I let, cheeky man, if I let go, he's still got me, because he's faithful. He's faithful. But this is what we've got to do with the promises of God. We've got to hold on, hold on, hold on. like our life depends on it. And sometimes they will. Sometimes it will. Sorry. For some of you, your life does depend on you holding on to his promises. And that's why he's given them to you. Because he wants to sustain you. He wants to hold you. Because he's a faithful, faithful God. We've got to hold on, because he's a true and faithful God. And if nothing else, that you walk away today, walk away knowing that our God is faithful. You can trust and rely and depend on him. And his promises are yes and amen.
So when we started, Ruth and I started talking about the whole faithfulness thing, if you don't know me, I'm a more of a bullet points sort of guy rather than a preacher, so I've got lots of bullet points, but that's all right. There's at least sort of four aspects of faithfulness which we could have talked on, and Ruth spent all this time talking about the faithfulness of God. There's also our faithfulness in return to him. There's also our faithfulness to the call of God upon our lives, or the giftings that he's placed in our life. We've preached a whole series of sermons about faithfulness. I just want to take a few minutes this morning to talk about the fourth aspect, is our faithfulness to each other and to the family of God. Because I was thinking just recently about the pressure that's coming on believers in these end days. And we are in the end days. And I need you to help me, and you need me, and we need each other. I want to quote a guy that you will know. He died recently, but this is a fantastic quote that I found during last week. True friends challenge us and help us to be faithful on our journey. And that's what we need. We need true friends in the family of God. That was Pope Benedict, who just died recently. I thought that was an amazing summation of what I wanted to say this morning. True friends challenge us and help us, not one or the other, but they do both, challenge and help us to be faithful on our journey. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to say today. And I'm going to say forgive me if I'm blunt, but sometimes you just have to be blunt. If you're a Christian that flits around from place to place without ever planting your roots down somewhere, grow up. And I'm sorry if you're offended, but people that are like that are usually suffering hurt or insecurity, or they don't want to be accountable, or they're offended. And so it's easier just to go different places and to not settle anywhere. Because you try and grow fruit on a tree that you plant here on Monday, dig it up on Tuesday and put it there, dig it up on Wednesday and put it there, dig it up on Thursday and put it over there, and next week put it back over there. Are you going to bear fruit? No. God's called us to be planted. Now, that doesn't mean that you can never change churches and that you should never go somewhere else. That's not what I'm saying. But if you have a habit of flitting around because this I like being here, I like doing this, I like these people sometimes, and after a while, you know, we've had people come to this church, and I've been involved in the leadership here for nearly 30 years, so I've been around the block a couple of times. We've had people that have come here full of fire, full of passion, full of vision. Yes, Wes and Janet, we're right behind you. We're accountable to you. 3 months later, they're gone. And it's happened because somebody said something to them, or somebody didn't do something for them, or something like that. And it was either a hurt or an offense or an insecurity or something like that. So I just want to encourage you, find where you're supposed to be, plant yourself there, and stay established. Get established. Build your relationships with the family of God. That's why we run connect groups. Because you cannot connect people fully on a Sunday morning. That's why we have tea and coffee after church. It's not just a nice thing where you can catch up on all the Christian gossip. You know, it's all about connection. Family takes time. I was just thinking, you know, our oldest son Samuel's about to turn 21 this week. We've sat around the dinner table, get this, I just did a quick calculation, at least 7,000 times in his lifetime. And we do it. We still sit together as a family and have dinner, and it's usually the most raucous, loudest times in our house. Because ask the grandparents. Because we've got great boys, and we've encouraged them to speak their minds, and that is wonderful. But, you know, you don't grow a family dynamic in a couple of hours or a week. And God is wanting to build us stronger as a family. So I've got a couple of things to that'll help get some pictures in your mind. All this is partly in light of Matthew 24, where it's talking about the end times, verses 9 to 13. You can read that if you want. But it's talking about in the end times, many will turn away and hate each other. Because the love of many will grow cold. Because of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. As I said, I need you. Because you know what? In the years ahead, in the months ahead, in the decades ahead, there might be days where I want to give up. And so I'm going to need people around me that can speak into my life, that can come alongside me and say, keep going. Don't give up. And I might be that voice for you in times to come. Because I tell you what, if you look back in the book of Acts, I think we are going to return to some of that pressure of in the end days. We're going to meet together regularly, not because necessarily we want to, but because we will need to. I can foresee, and I'm not prophesying this, but this is just the way my mind goes. I can see times in the future where there's going to be such pressure on believers that won't come under the world system that we're going to have to meet together, because you guys can bring a loaf of bread. You guys can bring a handful of grapes. You guys can bring a chicken breast or something like that, because we all don't have everything anymore. Because the world system is going to try and strip us away, wear us down, tear us down, imprison us, and all those sorts of things. So in light of those things, that's where I'm going. We need to be strong in ourselves, but we need to be strong with each other. Jesus spoke lots of practical things from everyday life. He talked about weeds and seeds and sheep and goats and wolves and graves and all sorts of things. Well, I want to speak to you a little bit about a car today, because we're all important and we all make up the whole. And I could have bought a nice PowerPoint slide about a nice Lamborghini or a Bugatti or something like that, you know, something that's just beautiful worth lots of money. But Margaret, if you can put up the slide there. I thought I'd go with something familiar. But you see, there's a reason for this. This is a car that a man in Wellington drove until just last year. And he drove over 2 million kilometres in his 1983 Toyota Corolla. He had a paper round that he delivered up near, and I can't remember if it was Foxton or Whanganui, but he lived in Wellington, and he didn't want to shift. So every day he would pick up his newspapers, drive there, do his delivery round with the newspapers, and drive back home. Now, what bit on that car do you think is the most important bit? And this is what I'm getting to. Because every one of you is important for the running of the family of God. You see, which bit do you think is the most important? The engine? Which you might equate to the prayers in the church or whatever. Is the engine the most important thing? Could be. What about the wheels? You have a fantastic engine, got no wheels, you ain't going anywhere. You can have a fantastic engine, you can have four wheels. What if you've got no wheel nuts? See, I bet none of you will go out to the car park after church and check whether your wheel nuts are on your car. You might now, because you don't know what I got up to before church. No. Actually, one day before I came to live in Christchurch, I'd had to change a wheel on my car. And I'd put the wheel nuts on, but I hadn't tightened them fully, hadn't realised. And I was driving, I was actually going to a house group meeting to help lead this house group meeting, and I'm driving on the road, and I feel the car going. I'm like, something's wrong here. So I pulled over, and instead of four-wheel nuts, I had three-wheel nuts, and they were all loose. So let me tell you, wheel nuts are really important on a car. Now, sometimes you might feel like I'm just a nut, a wheel nut, but you're really important for that thing to get where it needs to go to. Okay? Now, you might have a great engine, four wheels, all the wheel nuts tightened, but you know what's a really important bit on that car? Well, you need the key and the steering wheel. Well, you only need the brakes if you're going to slow down. But you see, running a car is not one thing or the other. It's all these things together. Running the family of God is not just the prophets. It's not the evangelists. It's not the pastors. It's not the teachers. It's not the deacons. It's all of these things. You are all important, and you need to know where you fit, and you need to be faithful where God has called you to be. Now, that doesn't mean you find a slot and stay in it for 40 years because it's comfortable and safe. That's also a word to somebody this morning. It might even be to me. I don't think I was listening, but that's all right. Don't find a slot for 40 years that's comfortable and safe where God said to you 30 years ago, I want you to step out and do this. Whatever it is, you need the Holy Spirit to be that steering wheel to give you the guidance and the direction to go. Otherwise, you could just go round and around in circles for 40 or 50 years. So I just want to say, though, leave you with those points this morning with one more story about the power of encouragement, because here's what I want to say. Our words are important. Our words are vital. 7 years ago, Ruth and I went to a New Life conference in Rotorua, and for me, it was a good conference, great speakers. It was a leaders' conference. The last day, God gave me a prophetic word for somebody, which really helped them, and it helped me because I wasn't sure that it was accurate or not. And we were just walking out at the end of the last session through the foyer to walk out the doors, and I looked across, and I saw a pastor that had been faithful in ministry for 40 years. And I was just going this way, and I glanced across, and the Holy Spirit said to me, go to him and say thank you. I was 5 meters from the door at the end of this conference, and I thought, okay, I'll do it. So I said to Ruth, just be a minute. So I walked over, and he was talking to somebody, he saw me coming, and we knew each other a bit. And I just wanted to, I said to him very quietly, and then I said, I just want to say thank you for your service to the body of Christ. You do not know what lives you have turned around and changed. And I just want to say that we appreciate people like you, and you've been fantastic. And tears came to his eyes. And we hugged, and I walked out of that conference like I was walking a meter above the floor. The power of just a very simple encouragement. For him, I think it was obviously it caused something to stir within him, because there was a big reaction. And it was powerful for me too. And the final thing I want to leave you with is encouragement. And I asked permission for this because last Saturday, 8 days ago, Ruth and I and three of our boys were on the West Coast. We had a few days break. We went to the Treetops Walk in Hokitika. And I don't know if you've been there, but you walk through on these gantry things 20 meters high. So just to give you an idea, this tent is 7 meters high at its peak. So three times high as that, you're walking, you know, you're safe because the fence is like this. And then there's one point where you can go up another 20 meters up a vertical tower. So you're 40 meters up. Now, John, our little boy, he's 9, was freaked out by this. Grant, who's 55, was a little bit freaked out by this. But I'm like, okay, I know I can do this. I've done worse things. But John went up 3 or 4 steps and he says, I can't do it, I can't do it, and went back down. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to force you. So I started up. And then I got, it's a spiral thing, and 106 steps. Thank you, my son David, who counted those. And I look back down, and there's John coming up. However, my oldest boy, Samuel, had his arm with him like this. And I asked John, what did Samuel say to you? And he said, I'll go behind you. You go the first few steps, and I'll go behind you. And if you slip, I will catch you. I didn't know he said, I only found that out from John yesterday. And so John went up 106 steps, Samuel holding him like this with his arm, up every single step till he got to the top. That was the power of helping, challenging, but helping, and the power of encouragement in family. So I want you to just have those things in your mind. Be faithful to where God has called you to be. Be faithful in the calling that God has placed on your life and the giftings in that. Don't just let it slip and slide. And be really impressive to be, sorry, that's not the right word, my mind just went blank. Just be alert to what Holy Spirit may want to speak through you to encourage and help and strengthen your fellow believers, because you never know what your words or your actions, your little actions or big actions, may be a turning point for somebody that's about to give up or is really struggling. So that's what I wanted to say about faithfulness this morning.
Faithfulness in little things is a big thing, eh? Yeah. Well, we're kind of coming to an end of our meeting time here, but we didn't want this time to come to a close without giving an opportunity for anybody who wants to say, well, I've heard about this faithful God this morning. I want him in my life. I want it not just to be something I've heard about, but I want him in my life. And so if there's anybody here who would like to be introduced to Jesus, then we'd love to take this opportunity to do that. And I also want to give you an opportunity. I don't think there's going to be a big ministry altar call thing, but I want you to have an opportunity to look inside yourself and go, God, do I recognize your faithfulness? Are there areas in my life where I have limited you? Is there any areas where I have put a cap on your faithfulness, Papa? This is something that I've kind of just had to really, and I know I'm going to continue on this year. Because God wants the fullness of his faithfulness to be evident in your life, so that we can be like what Grant was speaking about, Papa God wants to be to you like Samuel was to John. And those places where he's calling us up to the heights and we're like, I don't think I can go up to those heights. He's like, I'm just going to come along behind you, and if you fall, I'm going to be right here. Just one more step. We don't have to have what it takes to get to the top. We just have to have what it takes to take the next step. That's what faithfulness is all about. I just need to take the next step. So often we just like, I don't have everything I need for this. It's too big. Just take the next step, and he's going to be right in behind us. So there may be some of you who feel like that, like you need to reinforce that God is right there behind you. And if there's anybody here who's in any of those situations, then we would just love to pray with you. 'Cause what I have had to do and what I know I'm going to be doing a lot of this year is acknowledging where I've limited God, repenting for it, because I don't want any limitations on my life, saying, sorry, God, sorry. You know, because sometimes we walk through things that are really hard, and we've been holding on to a promise, and we might not have seen what we felt was the outcome. And so, unbeknown to us, we've allowed that to make a chink in our understanding of his faithfulness. And I've recognized that in some areas in my life where things haven't quite played out how I wanted them and I believed that they would play out. And so it has put a chink in my trust in his faithfulness. But God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. He's still faithful. And so I need to acknowledge those areas, repent, and then open my heart up again to allow the truth to come inside. Like I said earlier, find those scriptures that say how he is faithful and make them a part of you and receive his faithfulness. God wants to be to you like Samuel was to John. Right there, right behind you as you climb up into the heights. We're just going to close our eyes for a moment, and I wonder if there is anybody here who wants to give their heart to the Lord. And if there is, maybe you could lift your hand and we'd love to pray with you. Okay. I'm going to pray and I'm going to release the meeting and you can head on out into where it may be cooler, I don't know, and have a cuppa and connect. But if any of you would like to spend some time here and for us to pray, we'll be happy to do that. But maybe if we could have the keys, that would be fantastic. We're just going to pray. Father God, I thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And great, 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 great is your faithfulness. Lord, I thank you for everybody here in this room and those who have joined us online, Lord. And God, I ask that this year would be a year that we could say without hesitation, we have seen the faithfulness of God in the land of the living. Father God, I ask that this year would be a year that we would be able to say that your faithfulness burns deep within us, that we've held on to it with that fireman's grip because we know that your promises are yes and amen. Father God, I pray that we would be ones that could stand firm on you because you are the rock. You are faithful and true, Father God. Lord, in any areas in our life where we've allowed circumstances to cause our understanding of your faithfulness to diminish, Lord, I ask by your grace and your mercy that you would come and reinforce who you are to us, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank you that you do not change, but you're a faithful God. And we declare that over our lives. We declare that over our circumstances. We declare that over this year, that you are a faithful God, and you are going to walk behind us and be with us every step of the way. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Amen. I don't think there's anything else that I need to do. Is there anything that you want to do, Grant? No, you're good. I think we're going to close this time, and I'm going to release you. Go with that song, Great is His Faithfulness. Grab one of these verses that have been said this week and meditate on it. He is a faithful, faithful God. And if any of you would like some prayer into any of those things, then you're welcome to come. But otherwise, let's go connect. And hopefully it's a little bit cooler outside. God bless you. God bless you this week. Walk in His faithfulness, because He is a faithful God. Amen. Have a great life.